All right. Good morning, everybody. All right. It's good to be here this morning. Before we get started, I'm going to have a brother, new friend of mine, Terry Frankel, this morning. He's come a long way to be here with us this morning, all the way from South Africa. And he is going to just share a word with us just real quick, and we'll get started in the word together. So thank you so much for being here, Terry.
Good morning, all. I'm a bit overwhelmed here, and a bit out of my depth as well. But I'm bringing you greetings from a group 1,200 miles away at our church, St. James, in Ladybrand, South Africa. There's about 60 people there, all with a similar situation to what you're in. And it is absolutely amazing that what I see here today is parallel to what we are doing. Exactly the same modus operandi, a hot meal and a chat to God. And it's the chat to God, to me, that's the important thing for all of us. Doesn't matter what side of the wood you're from or what side of the track you're from. We're all the same, and God loves us all, and I thank His blessings that I'm able to be here and share with you guys today. And you ladies as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, brothers. I appreciate it very much.
All right. Man, thank you, Terry. All right. Well, today we're going to be in Psalm 30. I want to just mention this. I'll probably mention it at another time just in our talk this morning. But you guys keep Jesse and his family in prayer. Been a tough week for a few of us with loss. Jesse had a 20-year-old nephew that was killed in a car accident this week. It's been tough on their family, and so they're out taking care of those responsibilities. So if you will, keep them in your prayers. This morning, before we read the word, I just want to kind of share a couple of thoughts. We'll read the psalm, and then we'll pray and talk just a few minutes. In each of our times that we look at the psalms, there are many that we come to that obviously tell us who the author is, maybe a little bit of insight of what's going on, and that is the case today. It's a psalm of David, Psalm 30. This is a song at the dedication of the temple. I was doing some reading and looking at things, and David really wanted to build God this temple. In fact, he has a moment where he's sitting around in Scripture, and he looks at this palace that he's in and thinks, man, God is still in the Old Testament way meeting in this tent, right? And here I am in this palace, and he longed to build this temple. And God, in fact, gave him the news, no, you're not going to build me a temple. But he gave him some even greater news than an earthly house. He told David of this promise of a Messiah, and that it would come from his lineage, and all of these wonderful things that really, I'm sure David as a human being understood some of, just a little bit of what he was talking about. But the depths and the greatness of the plan was so far better than David just building some kind of temple, earthly temple for God to meet with his people in. And so that's a little what's going on. And David, a dedication maybe of this cedar house in which he lived. And some also feel that really in this psalm that David was dealing with some kind of sickness, some kind of illness, some other things that are going on. And so whether it was a dedication to his physical house or to his house, he definitely was one that understood that God is living inside of him, that he himself is a temple. No matter what's going on, and we see this promised Messiah, if you want to look at that later, it's 2 Samuel chapter 7 that some of this conversation happens. But the thing I want to point out is that so many times that when we look at the psalm, in fact, we believe the reason that God directed us to the psalms is so many times we can empathize with the author of the psalm. And that is the case today, because as we can many, many times with David, we look today and we say, man, I know exactly what that feels like. Today, in fact, the scripture really just points out this time where we just sometimes, a season of life, maybe even, that we just have to sit back and wait on God. And I'm going to be honest, that's not fun. Would anybody say, man, it is super fun to pray about something earnestly, to hit my knees and to beg and to cry maybe, to plead with God. And yet the only answer I get, if there's any answer at the moment at all that I can hear, is just wait. Man, see, we love that instant thing. We love to go through a drive-thru and the food is there. We love to walk up to a window, pay the money, the food is there. We love to maybe put something in the microwave and it, boom, it's ready. We love our technology, and if it doesn't work correctly at the first time, no matter where you're at, if you try to get on your cell phone and something doesn't work, we want something and we want it now. We don't want to wait. But we find the psalmist today waiting. I just imagine as I read this psalm, some of us could say, man, I know exactly. Even though he's a king, even though he lives in the palace, even though he had everything seemingly going for him, I can understand, I can sympathize with the waiting. So if y'all would allow me, I'm going to read Psalm 30. We'll pray and talk just a few moments this morning. Psalm 30 starts, it says in verse 1, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up, and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Listen to this. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cry, and to you, the Lord, I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned me from my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word that is never changing, that is true, that is God-breathed, that is a promise for each and every one of us, no matter what situation life has us in right now. That God, your desire is for us to hear the words of your Holy Spirit through today. And so, Holy Spirit, you don't need our permission, but we willingly lay down any kind of thing that would be in the way and say, have your way in this place. Start with me, God, that you would clean my heart, that you would restore in me a right spirit. Father, help me. I need you. Father, like many, I come to a season of life where there's been great loss, and I say, God, when's it going to break free? God, when is the weeping going to turn into joy? Father, many of us find ourselves in that spot. That's something that we can understand. We can sympathize with David on. We've been there. If not right now in the past, or if not in the past, sometime we know it's coming in the future. God, we're just great and devastating news hits, and it feels like, God, when will you come through? We've been there. Maybe some are camped out in that spot right now and are there in a moment of, God, when will you show up? Will you remind us of your faithfulness today? Will you remind us of your goodness and your grace and your mercy in times like these? We love you. We thank you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to share just a couple of words today. One, I want to start out with a $10 really biblical word here, all right? The word that we encounter first when we read this passage, it says, I will extol you. You don't hear many people walking around throwing around the word extol. That's a real $10 word, right? Extol you. What does that even mean? It means to praise enthusiastically. I mean, to really just praise the Lord. I just want to challenge you this morning. If you're having a hard time in this season of life, if you're in a season of waiting, if you're in a season of great loss and you don't know where to start, it feels like the pit is so deep. In fact, more on that in just a second. But it feels like the pit is so deep that it's unrecoverable, that you will never, ever inch your way out. If you don't know where to start, how about a place of praising God enthusiastically? I want to tell you that is one of the hardest things to do, to be in a place of that, to be in a place of loss and to be in a place of waiting. And yet David comes to this and it says, I will praise you enthusiastically. You can't even say the word enthusiastic without being happy a little bit. I just say it. It comes off your tongue very nice. Say it. Enthusiastic. Right? Let me say, I've never said that word in my life. Well, start saying it. It's a good word. Enthusiastically. That I would praise you. I will praise you enthusiastically. Lord, for you have drawn me up. You brought me in. A beautiful place to start, because I want to tell you this, anybody, any person walking this earth, any person that you've ever met, any person that you come in contact with can praise God when the times are sweet and the mountain is high, and man, nothing can bring me down. It's easy to say, oh, well, I praise you enthusiastically. But man, what about when we're in the depths, when it's tough? When it feels like we will never, ever get out. I'm going to be completely honest with you this morning. When life has you at the lowest, when you say, man, I cannot get any lower, it takes a real man, a real woman to say, even yet, I will extol you. I will praise you enthusiastically because you are good in spite of my situations. By the way, the enemy might want to take foothold. I'm just going to go on and just take his thunder away. If he's whispering, if he's pricking at your heart, if he's speaking louder maybe than the Holy Spirit right now, your situations is no reflection on God's love for you. We live in a broken world. I wish everybody nothing but goodness and grace and mercy and the best of things, but we live in a broken world. This is not our home. There is a day coming. There is a day coming when everything will be made right. Everything will be made new, and Eden will be restored, and we will be without sin. Can you imagine living a life where, listen, there's no sin, but it's not that we have this list of rules and we say, man, I'll finally be able to behave. There will be no temptation of sin. The enemy will be gone. He will be destroyed, locked up, destroyed after that. And we will have no temptation. Imagine that thing right now. You know what it is. The addiction that haunts you every single day. That there's grace and there's mercy for. But one day the temptation won't even be there. It will be destroyed with all sin. Everything will be made new. Everything will be made right. If you find it tough to ever praise, think of that moment. Because of Jesus, because of His grace and His mercy, not because of anything I can do, but one day everything will be made right. I want to tell you, no matter how deep the pit, to stand there and say, that's something worth praising enthusiastically about. So I want to pose the question, if you're at rock bottom and you feel like, man, I've prayed over and over, God, would you come through? God, would you deliver me? God, would you help? If we're honest this morning, God, are you even listening? God, are you even real? Help me. If I could give any advice, it would be to worship in the waiting. To wait there. There is a depth of intimacy and trust there that honestly, you can find no other place. I've been there. I've been at a place where it's like, God, are you ever going to come through? Are you ever going to deliver me from this? Is there ever going to be any rest from this? And man, when it comes on the other side, to look back and say, oh my God, there you were. You were there. I felt like you weren't there. It felt like you were a million miles. I questioned if you even existed, but now I see you were there. To worship in the waiting. I want to challenge you to do that, because the undescribable part of this, it is so beautiful. It is so beautiful to look back and see that, God, I felt like you weren't there, but now I see that you have come through. I want to tell you that in the waiting, the worship in the waiting, that faith is cultivated there. Faith is taken and it's grown into this beautiful thing where one day we know that what we don't see, what we can't see, one day will be sight. We will see God face to face. And the beautiful part about that is, if you don't know the rest of the story, that if you stand before this holy God in that moment on your own, there is no hope. There is no second chance. There is nothing else. But when we stand before Him covered in the blood of Jesus that He paid for, your price, my price, and we stand before Him, the beauty of that moment, the sweetness of that moment where our faith has been cultivated in the trying times. Our faith has now sight and we see Him. We will stand there. And the beauty is that Keith Akins will no longer exist. In that moment, he will look and see his son, his perfect son, and say, come on home. Whew. That's something Ric Flair would get excited about. Anybody know Ric Flair? Woo! Our faith will be sight, everything, praise enthusiastically, even in the waiting, because our faith is cultivated there. Here's how I know this. There is something in verse 3 that's called Sheol. You may have heard that in a song that Jesse has sang before and wondered, what in the world does that mean? This is representing a pit of death, a pit of desperation, a pit of separation from God, this Hades or hell, any kind of way that you could say it. And Jesse sings a song, and I wrote down the lyrics so I wouldn't mess it up, and God help us, I will not sing it. But it says, its heart won't stop. You ever heard Jesse sing it? Heart won't stop. Listen if you remember the words. It says, I could lay my head in Sheol. In other words, I could lay my head in this pit of death, this pit of desperation, this pit of separation from God. I could lay my head there. I could make my bed. And if we're honest, I want to tell you, I know some of you feel like this morning already there. I'm living in Sheol. I'm living in a pit of desperation. The song says, I could lay my head in Sheol. I could make my bed at the bottom of the darkness deep. But listen to this. There is not a place I could escape you. Harkening back to the psalm, wherever I go, your spirit is there. It is there. If I go to the heights, you are there. If I go to the depths, you are there. It even tells us this beautiful picture that we were intricately woven in our mother's womb. So when you think you're an accident, by the way, I want to speak truth over this. This morning, if you're sitting there saying, well, you don't know my story, I was an accident, I wasn't planned. Not in God's eyes, you were planned. Intricately woven, made to be who you are. The very things that you say, man, I'm just such a loser, I'm so foolish, I'm this, I'm that, God beautifully painted you to be who you are. Beautiful in His sight. You say, not me, man. My life's a mess. I've used this before, but God's leading me to say it again. Do you want to know some of the ugliest pictures? Bradley, I'm sorry, bud. Some of the ugliest pictures I've ever had on my refrigerator. Morgan's not here this morning, but it's some of my kids' drawings that they used to do when they were kids. I mean, just horrific. Ugly. I mean, like, it's a duck on the page, and all you got to do is color in the duck, but it's like all these crayons mixed together and they're browns and it's ugly and all this. But do you know where it went? On my refrigerator. You know why? Because my child did it and it was beautiful. The world would look at it and say, that's worthless, that's ugly. But to the Father, beautiful. To the best place. Even bragging to people, man. When they come in, hey, my son made that. My son drew that ugly duck. It might be ugly to you, but to me it's beautiful. Oh man, if you could just get the gospel, that, not, listen to me, not what other people have painted to you, not of these hoops you got to jump through, not of some kind of magical life that you have to muster up on your own. That's not the gospel. The gospel is that you lay down your broken and bruised and bloody life and say, I can't do this on my own. I can't do this. I need you. And he says, oh man, this is beautiful. He doesn't look at you as a sinner. He doesn't look at you as a whore or a prostitute or an addict. He says, get up, my son, my daughter. You were once lost, but now you're found. You were once dead, but now you're alive. That's the gospel I know. That's the Jesus I know. And no matter if I lay my head down in the pit, no matter if I set up camp on my own decisions and it wrecked my life, the rest of the song, the beautiful part of the song, your heart won't stop coming after me. Even if you are here this morning and have turned away and said, I'll never bow my knee, he won't stop coming after you, relentlessly pursuing you, even in a season that you feel like is waiting, even in a season where you feel like there is no answer. I'm telling you, he's pursuing you in the waiting even as I speak. That's the goodness of my God. He's a father and he loves you and he won't stop coming after you. Our belief here is that this place, if you want to know what the church at Southside exists, just in a nutshell, is our belief after countless scripture is that he pursues every single one of us so that every one of us knows you have a seat at the table. Your story is safe here. You have found your place to find the gospel. The beauty of this passage in Psalm 30 is verse 5. Listen to it again. It says, weeping may tarry for the night. In other words, carry on for the night. But joy comes in the morning. Now here's what I want to tell you. The enemy has probably done more damage with this verse in people's minds than any other verse. Because here's what that verse reads like. In our minds, we think, well, I got a whole lot of problems. If I'll just go to bed tonight and wake up in the morning, then I'm going to all of a sudden be joyful. Listen to what it says. Joy will come in the morning. It doesn't say joy is going to come tomorrow morning. Listen to it. Let that sink in. It doesn't mean that it's going to come tomorrow morning. But here's what I do believe this means is that one day, and for some, it may be the day that he calls us home, that it's finally some kind of joy because life has just, in all honesty, had us beat down. And maybe, there's a time here in this life. Maybe there's a time when everything kind of makes a little more sense. And one day you wake up and this season of loss that feels like it is tearing on and on and on. I said that earlier. I think back to our brother country that we lost. I think to Jesse and I losing nephews, both in different situations in the last week. And we think about loss and we say, man, I would love for the joy to come one day. One day it's going to be a little bit easier and the next a little bit easier. Our belief is that weeping may tarry for the night, but joy will come in the morning. Keep in mind, it may not be tomorrow. And as we said earlier, we are so impatient. Even for the good things, we long for healing. We long for the morning to stop. Could it be that God is gently pursuing us and teaching us along the way? Sometimes in life, too, I want to say this, that plans don't work out. Anybody agree with that? Some of the situations we're in, it's like, man, I never signed up for this. I didn't want this. Maybe some choices helped in it, but I never wanted this. I want to tell you a conversation, and I know she would be fine with me sharing it, but my daughter, and this doesn't seem like a big deal in the light of all the troubles that are in the world, but you know, trying to decide what she was going to do for the future, and she wants to help people. She wants to love people and serve people, and her way to do that is she wants and has felt this calling to be a nurse. Well, to do that, you have to go to nursing school. Some things you don't have to go to school to do, but you kind of want the people taking care of your body in a time of need to know what they're doing, right? She was just having the hardest time. I mean, the hardest time of just lining things up. And there is no other crazy, just helpless feeling than having your child come to you and saying, what am I going to do? And when you, the dad, looks at her and you don't have the answers, you say, I don't know, we trust. We pray. We pray and we trust. If we really, this is a time to put faith to action. If we really believe the God of this Bible, if we really to believe Him who He says He is, then we just say, God, You have a plan and we trust. In fact, I will never forget this moment as long as I live. If I die today, this will be on my mind. I will have this as a cherished memory. If I die 50 years from now, this will be a cherished memory. My daughter and I, as she gets some bad news on this journey, and we're standing in the ocean. We're actually at the beach. We're standing in the ocean, and she's upset. I'm upset. I'm mad. I'm angry. If you want to know the truth, I even played the God card to God. God, I've done all that I can for You. I'm trying to do this and this, and this is the way I'm leading my family. And where are You? Come through for me on this one. I can't believe this, if I'm just honest. And all I know to tell my daughter is that I can't tell you when. I can't tell you how. I can't tell you all the steps. But all I can say is we're going to pray right now to the God that spoke this ocean into existence. And we're going to trust Him. It was a moment of faith for me, that cultivating of the faith in the waiting and just saying, I've got nothing else to give in this situation. And all I told her, I said, Morgan, I said, if you'll remember this conversation, not just with me, but if you'll remember this conversation that we're having with our Father one day, I can't tell you when, I can't tell you how, but one day you'll look back and say, oh man, I see You were working things together for my good. You've got me. You never left. You were there. So for those that are in the circle this morning and your plans may be much more severe that didn't come to fruition, but if you were sitting there and saying, I just can't believe I'm here, would you just pray in faith and ask God, God, I got nothing else. Here I am. Maybe even picture, if it helps in your mind, this is what I did, of laying myself down on an altar and saying, here I am. I got nothing in this, God. You're going to have to come through. I believe He will. Verse 10 continues on, and David says in this, these three, I believe, essential words, be my helper. Some of you may feel, man, that is such a weak move, man. A king to be crying and all upset and just asking this God that he can't see, be my helper. But I want to tell you, this is one of the strongest moves David could have ever made, to humble himself. You see, God's math is kind of backwards. You ever notice that about God? I mean, Scripture says that, I mean, get this, that if you want to be strong, be weak. How does that even work? It says in our weakness that He is strong through us. He gives us a little formula. If you want to be great, serve. Be the least. How about this one? If you want to live, then die. If you want to find yourself, then lose yourself. It doesn't make sense. But I'm telling you, if you'll go in faith, God's even got a math problem like this. 5 loaves plus 2 fish equals 5,000. How does that work? I don't know, but it did. I mean, He's this crazy mathematician. I guess He just is God or something, right? It works. If we would just go to Him and say, man, I don't know about this. I just don't know if I can fully believe. I don't know. Would you maybe just humble yourself to a point like David and say, be my helper. I need You. This man's telling me that this weeping is tarrying for right now, but one day joy will come. Will You show me that, God? Will You help me in that? I want to read just one part here before we close, and I wasn't really going to just touch on this a whole lot. And I'll be honest, I'm going to have to look back and see where it is, but just hang with me one second. Verse 11. When we wait on God, when we worship in the waiting, when we humble ourselves, when we come to a place where we say, be my helper. The season of weeping that feels like it's tarried all of our life. And we're begging for the joy to break through. Listen to what David says. For me, David's saying personally, for me, God, my testimony, you've turned my mourning into dancing. I'm white. I can't dance. I got the worst rhythm of anybody out here, I promise. But I want to tell you, there's going to be a day where everything I've ever mourned about, some that I can't ever get back, some things that have happened I can never get back this side of the new kingdom and the new earth, that one day I will dance over the ashes of those mourning experiences. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. In other words, I've lost it all in celebration. I am praising enthusiastically. It says, you have loosed my sackcloth. For those that don't know what that is, it's just this cloth of mourning that someone, they would tear their clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes, and they would just weep, and they would just be in a desperate place. If you saw someone in this, it was an act of desperation. So he says, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth. In other words, taken it off and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. Close here. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes? God, Father speaks through His Holy Spirit, and I'm trying. If there's anything I want to do in my life, you just bow your heads and close your eyes for just a second. Maybe you can help me in this journey. Maybe you can say, I want to do the same. But if there's anything I'm trying to do, it's to try to live a life where I follow the Spirit's lead, no matter how crazy it may sound, any of these things. And so I'm just going to follow the Spirit's lead this morning. And I ask two questions. If you're in a season of waiting, would you just think maybe to pray this bold prayer right now? If you're in a season of waiting right now, would you just maybe pray a prayer of something like this? This is the Spirit of God leading me to say this. I didn't plan it. Would you just maybe just pray something like this? Father, I choose to worship while I wait. I'm going to praise you. Even when he said earlier, that psalm of, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You intricately wove me. For that alone, I praise you. I praise you for life. I praise you for the breath that is in my lungs. I praise you for the heartbeat I have. I praise you for the pulse in my body. I praise you for the purpose you created me for. I praise you for this cool breeze. I praise you for the sun and the moon, for the stars, for the sky. I praise you for creation. Even now the breeze blows even more. We praise you. There's so many things we can praise you. We praise you for our health. We praise you for this family. We praise you for the food that you provided today. We praise you for just keeping us alive. We praise you for everything you supply for us, every need, every situation. We praise you for speaking to us. We praise you for everything. We praise you for the gift of Jesus. There are so many things to praise. God, I feel you leading me to pray these things because there are some here this morning saying, I've got nothing to praise you about. God, we've got so much. We could go on and on and on all day long and still not be done praising you. And so can we just say that this morning, if you are waiting, if you are in a season of loss, a season of mourning, could you just stop right now and say, Father, I praise you. I worship you in the waiting. I praise you right now. I praise you. Now, this one's going to be a little tougher. Keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. This is between you and God. Just trust me on this one. Just trust me. David at the end says, I'm thankful. Be my helper. I'm thankful. You've turned my mourning into dancing. You've turned my sackcloth into gladness. You've clothed me in gladness. I dance over choosing to mourn. Could you just maybe right now just thank God? even for the season of waiting. Could you thank him? Just say, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for you, God. I'm thankful what you're going to teach in me. I'm thankful for the faith that you're growing me. I'm thankful, God, that you care about me. I'm thankful. God, I feel led to say these things, and we'll close with this prayer. Father, I just feel led to say these things because I believe that, God, you are breaking hearts this morning. You are bringing us to a place of submission where we lay everything down and say, I can't do it on my own. I need you. I've been waiting. I've been waiting. Oh, God, I've been waiting. I've been begging. I've been asking. Would you help us just to stop and worship in the waiting? Help us to praise you. And then help us come with thankful hearts and just say, whatever you're doing, God, whatever you're working, I'm thankful for, because there is a day. Your word tells me that this weeping may tarry for a season, for a night, but joy's coming in the morning. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with asking God, God, would you please let it be tomorrow? Maybe he will. His timing is perfect in your life. Would you just pray, God, I look forward to the day. I thank you. I thank you right now in advance for the day that the morning turns into pure joy, that I dance instead of mourn. We long for that day. I pray that over my brothers and sisters this morning. If there's some here this morning, I can't go further without saying this, God. If there's some here this morning that have never, ever bowed the knee in the first place and said, I need you, God, I need you. The gospel this morning, the grace of Jesus speaks loud of we can't do it on our own. There are no hoops to jump through. We make it so hard when really all we have to do is just say, I believe, I accept Jesus' gift for me. We're in. As sons and daughters, we're in with that. We just thank you for your gospel. Thank you. We don't deserve it, but we thank you. God, I just pray if there's anyone here today that needs to do that business, they would lay down their life in exchange for the life and death and resurrection of your Son. Thank you for the gift of the cross. Thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives. For the season of waiting, we worship and we're thankful and say, God, would you move in our hearts and life? We love you and we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, thank you so much.